Yeah!
Oh, man, oh, man. It, as the day gets later and the yells get louder, they hurt more. I'm not 100% sure why. It hurts now. I like it. I need you to keep doing it.
Right, just, right. Yeah.
I want to thank Mr. Porter, the producer behind our theme music here for the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a good friend.
He is a good friend. And the fact that we asked him to do it for free and he's busy doing these M&M things and I guess working on Detox, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
He didn't do the theme song. It's actually from our friend Greg Mayo, who's not here today. It's the first time he's not been able to engineer the podcast.
Shouts to him anyway?
No.
Okay, shouts to Mr. Porter.
He's a fucking asshole. Right. Not able to come, but shouts to Mr. Porter. This is the Hype Men podcast. I'm Jensen.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Eric.
And they're it's the real boys.
Yeah.
They're brothers in real life and brothers of the soul.
Yes.
Why don't you guys intro our guest today, our special guest?
All right, so a few years ago, I was working at the HBO and AOL Comedy Team Up, this comedy website that never really got off the ground because AOL
shouts to the internet
involved.
Failure of the 2000s. Yeah, shouts to that.
And it was a bi-coastal venture, and I was working in New York with a bunch of people, and there was an LA office, and two of the funniest guys that were there also had a hip-hop sort of comedy.
They were also cleaning the place after hours, part of the janitorial staff.
A little bit of tuck pointing on weekends.
Shout to Molly Mackler.
Oh, yeah.
Shout
Molly
to Malls.
Mackler. Oh, shout to Malls.
Shout to Malls.
But we got Bashir and Diallo.
Yo, what's up?
Formerly of thisjustin.com, which is not on the internet anymore.
Right. Did you squat it? You should squat it.
I should definitely squat it.
Well, we should put the podcast on it.
It's a recession.
See, but we were smart. This is Bashir talking, by the way. What's up to all the ladies in the universe? That's what I'm going to say every time before I talk. I'm going to say, what's up to all the ladies in the universe? Are you good with me saying that, Diallo?
If you want Martian women, it's fine with me.
Oh, what's up, Martian bitch? Here's the thing. We were smart, though, when we did our stuff because we knew that our content was going to go away. And so we actually developed this whole entity called The Message. And now Diallo and I actually maintain a blog called The Message Show where we do link some of the old videos we used to do, but also just like some regular blog stuff and the stuff we do now on the show we work on now.
Now, if you go to themessageshow.com, what do you go to?
Two girls, one
nowhere.
Cup.
Nowhere. You do. You go to two girls, one cup, in four different languages.
Yeah. It's a blog spot, so I don't even...
No, it's themessageshow.blogspot, but actually, we still own themessageshow.com, so it actually goes right to the blogspot account.
Okay, cool.
I think I haven't paid it in a long time, so at some point...
Do we have all the nerd talk out of the way yet, or a little more?
I was hoping we'd do 15 more minutes
where
of tech
did you,
talk.
Where did you buy the domain name?
I thought this was a nerd safe zone. That's the only reason
is. GoDaddy.com.
By the way, the most ironic part of this is us three are saying nerd talk to you two.
I know, right?
Right. So the irony of that is painful.
I do like how we're on opposite sides of the table. Like,
yeah, that's
arm
another thing.
Later.
This is the first time in the podcast we've had two guests at one time. Yeah.
Yes.
And all three of us now have, now we have to face the guests, and you're the Rosenthals are sharing a mic.
Yes, we are.
Much like you shared
pause.
A bedroom.
Pause.
Pause. All over the place. This is our gayest podcast, too. So, yeah, I mean,
that's why I'm here.
Yeah, and explain what you're doing
shout
now.
To all the ladies.
Shouts to all the ladies in the universe.
explain what you guys are doing now. Your
but
job
I actually just wanted
awesome.
To first say thanks for having us, man.
Oh,
this is
dude,
so
it's a privilege
cool.
for us.
Can we use profanity on this thing?
Yes.
Of course you can.
Not anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't be using profanity because I'm a good Christian.
Well, we're squatting on the message.com now, so whatever.
The message.com, I don't know.
You tell me.
You know, the message.com is, I think that's owned by like a sort of 65-year-old black preacher from like Alabama or somewhere.
Yeah, we tried to get it, and it was like some church group.
Brother, you want this for what?
Eddie Long? Is it Bishop Eddie Long?
Did you? No?
I wish.
He doesn't squat?
I think he owns pause.com.
He squats on something else.
Yeah.
Oh.
To answer your question, what are we doing now?
That was Andrew.
We're writing on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon.
JF.
NBD.
Lot to do with
big shouts to Jimmy.
Big shout out to Jimmy.
I know he
big
listens
shout.
Religiously to this podcast.
And by listens, you mean has no idea? Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. I want to bring it back to pause because our house band is The Roots.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
To,
no
to
big
be
deal.
In the same room with The Roots
is to hear
is
the
to
word.
Use pause every other sentence.
Every other sentence, yeah, pretty much.
So
it's a pause.
You can't say anything. You can't say like we really need to get on top of this sketch. Pause.
It's right.
Like,
yeah.
But I mean, even when Fallon goes, our guest tonight is Zac Efron. Do they say pause?
They say it, but you don't hear it.
Okay.
You don't hear it on their mic.
Jeff and I worked with Cam
No big deal.
Killer Cam.
Yeah.
And, and you
not
know,
Cam Neely. The
right.
Or,
I thought you meant Peace Treaty Cam.
Awesome.
And you know, obviously, like, Cam you know, Neely. The diplomats and all them in Harlem, like, yeah. launched No Homo, and that's where that all became, you
Did
know,
they
big.
Really launched that?
Yeah. That's, they were the really ones.
I like the way you guys say launch.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like when Bill Gates launched Windows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think if we all work together, sooner or later, we can rid the world of homosexuality. So right. If we just work hard. Right. Clearly, that's pause.
That's pause. Yeah, right.
Whoa. That's like the new agenda now, clearly.
Is ending
homosexuality like in our
overall,
time.
Overall, yeah.
Right.
This is the task taken. All right, just too much time on that.
I just saw The Social Network last night. So while they were launching Facebook, these guys were launching
No Homo.
You said
Killer Cam was launching No Homo.
I don't know which was a better investment.
By the way,
we
all saw it last night, too. I don't know if you...
Did you guys think of it? I didn't see it yet. Was it good?
I thought it was great.
It's a good movie.
I thought it was pretty good.
Pretty good.
Jeffy's
deep voice.
He's a big Friendster fan, so it was tough. Right.
It's tough. Did you think that Bill Gates was really Bill Gates, or was it someone playing Bill Gates?
Bill Gates. I assumed it was.
Spoiler alert.
No, it's no big deal.
No, I don't think
it's a major plot point.
God, it looked just like. I don't know. It looked just like him. It sounded just like.
I think
like
it was
him.
An actor.
Do you know? Yeah. And this is just nerd talk about Social Network, which has nothing to do with our hip hop podcast. So Jeff has explained to me last night because we were like, man, those fucking twins were so good in that movie. You know what I mean?
The same dude.
No, but the thing is it's not the same dude. It's the same face. They use two different people as bodies, and then they CGI'd the dude's face on the other person.
That's crazy. I did wonder how they could find like two actors, you know, like twins who were actors and would fit the role so perfectly.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that kid's gonna get a supporting actor nod purely due to the technology. Like, I'm pretty
sure. They did the same thing in X-Men 3 when they made like Professor X and Magneto look 20 years younger. By the way, I am a nerd too, so.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked the black guy just said that.
Yeah, no, I'm a super nerd. The nerd talk. I'm like, let's get it going. Star Trek, let's talk.
By the way, my wife had to make an appearance at a Comic-Con today.
Oh, yeah.
And I told her, Comic-Con. I was like, if anybody asks you, you're into Silver Age Marvels. So that was the sentence I gave her.
Yeah. 6% of your audience is like, oh, hell yeah.
Oh, trust
and
me.
And the
way
other
more
94%
are
like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't get any of this.
I want to hear about urban comedy. Hey, but talk about the worldstarhiphop.com and bitches.
I don't know who that guy is, by the way.
That's our listener. I'm sorry. You were saying.
No.
But this is going to be tangent central, so let's just like just ride the tangent away.
Trust me. We are tangent central.
There'll be no unifying theme.
Yeah, and so now you're at Fallon. Yes. Which is I would assume a dream come true. Really.
I will just say real quick that I love the Roots. I have always loved the Roots, and there's a moment, you know, when we first started where you go downstairs and you're working with Questlove and Black Thought and Kamal, and then there's fucking James Poyser who produced. Believe me, folks, a lot of the music that you guys love, he produced it. Mm-hmm. And it's just a moment where you go like, damn, like these are my coworkers now. Like these are the people at the office Christmas party, and like last year my Secret Santa was Black Thought.
It's
literally the craziest thing. I had to get somebody else something.
What does he get you?
He got me two gifts, which I won't say on the air out of respect for the level of gift, but it was a pretty...
I could probably take a guess.
He exceeded the money limit. Let's say that.
Did he get you a PDPD 16 guest verse?
He did not get me a PDPD 16 guest verse.
But he could.
Did he give you...
Was it PD Crack?
It was not PD Crack.
All right. Fair enough.
Was it Damien Hall?
It was Damien Hall. He got me Damien Hall's solo CD. It's me, y'all, Damien.
So tell us, I mean, as hip hop fans, like, do these guys, like, when they're warming up, I mean, are they playing Silent Treatment and you guys just go nuts? I mean, is there a moment when they play something and they're just fucking around? Like, it's not even for the show.
You know, because of the, you know, with the rigor of the show, they don't have a whole lot of time to fool around,
right?
Honestly, like,
because my dreams is that they play like Distortion to Static or something out of nowhere.
Well, okay, let me
clones
just say this.
Out of nowhere.
I you know, we were definitely big Roots fans. After talking to Black Thought, I sometimes get the sense that, you know, people come up to him all the time and want to talk about Do You Want More, and like some of the older stuff, and I do know for a fact that, like, you know, on a couple occasions he's like, you know, that was a long time ago.
Yes.
You know, like, I really want people to, like, you know, listen to, like, some of the more recent albums. And until we started working on the show, I was probably guilty of that, too. You know, but as far as, like, you know, they recognized the important place that those songs had, you know, at that time. I do think that they are a group that, you know, is always changing. And, like, when I saw them perform with John Legend about a week and a half ago, like, you know, Quest played I forget which Arcade Fire song it is, but that was part of their set. You know, they're very much, you know, trying to, you know, expand their audience and try and get some of these new some of these.
I think also they're just really focused on being musicians now. Like the thing about Black Thought is, I was talking to him and he was just like, "I'm not just MC, I'm a vocalist." That dude's voice is like
Teddy Pendergrass.
It's like Teddy Pendergrass in his prime, which is weird because a lot of male voices in R&B now skew to tenor, and they skew very young. And so it's
talking about Jaheim, obviously. No, not talking about Jaheim. You would say genius.
No, I would say Jaheim. Okay. True. And I'm not talking about Nate Dogg either, who we all love, right. Who I think is still alive.
He's alive.
That's
alive.
Barely. He's
holding
on.
We're Case fans here.
That's right. Yeah. But so there's nothing on your dial that's going to sound like what Tariq sounds like. But his voice is literally like it's an amazingly
rich voice.
Yeah, and so, but you've never heard it before because all he wants to do, you know, all he has done. So the other thing I'll say is real quick about Questlove, and you guys should definitely have Questlove on your show.
We hope to.
Yeah.
That dude is like, speaking of like the sort of mixture between like nerd and like hip, he's an encyclopedia of music, but he's not over it because that's like a negative way to put it, but he's just kind of seen everything in a way. So when you bring up something, he'll then spit back to you like the five like samples that are on it, the first time he met the person, and then like how where the person is now. He's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like if you go like,
believe it or not, he did a track called, I think it's called South Philly. What is that thing? Yes. Murderville. It's an old Jay-Z song. It's like murder.
Yeah, Marcyville. Yeah,
that's called Murder. It's called Murder. It's called Murder Marcyville.
Questlove produced that?
I was singing it.
Never knew it.
I was at the Jay-Z concert. He and I went to the Jay-Z concert, not to drop names, and met Drake.
Or drop writing partners from the invite.
Oh my God. Drake. You know what? I saw the guy. Honestly, fireworks. So we went to that joke did
fireworks?
Not land. Really, I made a great joke, and not one of you motherfuckers laughed
Listen,
at it.
Listen,
I was about to say,
I just
pause,
said I saw
but
Drake
I was too offended.
And I saw fireworks, but nobody got the joke.
Well, I mean,
but that's okay.
I was being sweet.
Okay, but also,
I figured you had a nice moment.
No. It was also just pause. Yeah. And it was. But it was also, here's the thing, kids. It wasn't funny. But here's the thing I was saying about that is that I was actually humming that tune because you used to spin that.
Yeah.
And then Questlove was like, "You know that song?" And I was like, "We used to spin this song." And I was like, "Y'all used to spin this all the time." He's like, it's the only track I've ever produced with Jay-Z.
Wow.
Fucking trivia.
Yeah, but he did produce the Unplugged record. That's the Jay-Z true. Unplugged record. Yeah.
Wait, Questlove didn't do the he didn't do the first single the second single off of the comeback album?
He may have. I mean,
yeah.
It was Kingdom Come or something?
Kingdom Come, yeah.
He told me the only song he's ever done for Jay-Z is Murder Marcyville. The only producing he's ever done.
The Unplugged record, though, is so good.
It is amazing.
Yeah, Blueprint Unplugged. And this is a good kind of small transition we could do about
Segway
why we're not why we're not just interviewing you, because you're comedy writers. Is what, like, not just about the skits and stuff you used to do, but like what is your history in hip-hop anyway? Like where did hip-hop come in, and where does it play in your life?
Dial's been DJing since the time he used to DJ in college. He won't tell you his college DJ name. I dare him
please,
to tell you right
please.
Now
I was DJ Jihad.
Whoa!
Because that was the 90s, you know. Like
that's when it was cool to hate America. Like it was like, yo, fuck America. Yeah, but then after 9/11, it was like, oh, we couldn't do DJ Jihad anymore.
Yeah, you are possibly the one DJ like seriously affected by 9/11.
Let me tell you something. I don't know. We didn't have the MySpace in 2001. I don't know what we were using to communicate. Honestly,
wasn't there a group that had like a Twin Towers imagery on their record? And
the coup.
So there were two. There was Diallo and the coup were the only. Like,
by the way, the coup was brought in. Do you guys know that?
Really?
The coup was called by the FBI. Yeah. I mean, they had the fucking same image from the Twin Towers on their record before 9/11.
Right.
It's the same image. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
no.
So they got called
for those of you who don't know at home, there's a group called The Coup, and for some reason, when they
Bay
released
Area
their
group,
Fuck a Perm.
Yeah.
The
they
jam.
Had some really good hits, actually, for the underground
jam.
Scene. But
I
think
their
album cover was the 9/11, was the towers being hit by an airplane or something on 9/11 or something like that.
Yeah, it looks just like it, and it was done way before 9/11. It was just a coincidence. When they were questioned about it, by the way, they don't talk about it much because they were brought in by the FBI. And when they did talk about it, they said, listen, dude, if planes were going to hit the Twin Towers, that's what it was going to look like. It was just coincidental that we had the same idea as to how they would attack America.
Right. I mean, like, there were two images. It was just the Winklevosses, like, all over
them. The Winklevosses.
So let me do this segue real quick. Yeah. One of the reasons we came together in comedy was because we felt like there was not a lot of comedy out there that was our particular brand of, like, I want to call it he hates this term, but I want to say, like, sort of, like, you know, it's sort of a nerdier approach, you know, to what's already out there. And I'll never forget it. Like, these, you know, like you always see these people who like, you know, get up and they do their stand up and it's like black people do this and white people do that. Mm-hmm. Right, and we were right. So
that's our approach.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah. Which you guys do it awesome.
All it is contrasting racial stigma. Go ahead.
We do Martin Lawrence face joke. That's the joke we do. Martin
Lawrence. Oh, see, I do Will I Am face.
Oh, fair. I get it. Okay.
Well, all I was going to say is the reason we came together is because we wanted to see more comedy in the vein that, you know, that we just wanted to see the stuff. It's just like Snoop. Snoop was like, I started making music because I made the stuff that I wanted to hear on my stereo.
Right. Yeah.
And we started making the comedy that we wanted to make.
Y'all went to L.A. first. I went out there after him, after college. And then I saw like the women in L.A. and I was like, I think I'm going to stay here. And then, by the way, I love that you just compared us to Snoop. That's fucking, I'm not going to let that fly into the radar.
You know, Shakespeare once said, I want to see the plays.
So is that how he spoke? I want to see the plays I want to see.
Peace, yo.
Yo, build the Globe Theater. I'm a nerd. Here's the thing. So, but Diallo was in this. I'll be very quick with this. Diallo was in a different sketch comedy group than I was. You're both in two predominantly white sketch comedy groups. And even then, in those tiny sketch comedy groups where there was nobody coming to see it, they were still like, Bashir, this week you're playing the cook. And I was like, why do I have to play the fucking cook? Like, it's can I be a leading man or some shit? Or can I do something different? And it was like, nah, put the apron on. Right. And so we decided.
You called me.
Your sketch group was obviously run by David Duke.
It was called the Jim Crow Players, but that's another story.
Wow.
For another day.
James Crow is a hilarious
James
guy.
James Crow, by the way, talented.
He's a very talented guy.
Is it in reference to the Polo the Don helmed Jim Crow rap group? No, I highly doubt it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Long story short,
I didn't know about that, but I love Polo. Yeah. I think Polo's talented.
I think, but we ended up deciding to come together, and what's kind of cool is that a lot of you who were in our sketch group back then are still doing great things. We actually had a big casting, and we just picked the best people we thought we could find, you know, who were kind of our peers in L.A. Wyatt Cenac, who's on The Daily Show, was in it.
So
this woman named Robin Thede, who just produced the other big hit on the internet this week, which is the Mike Tyson and Wayne Brady dancing every little step. She's in the video. She produced it. She was in our sketch comedy group from the beginning.
Wayne Brady's idea.
Wait, she did the Condoleezza Rice thing, no?
That was Nefertari Spencer.
Okay.
Who used to be on the Bernie Mac show.
I just can't tell black people apart.
This is very true.
The internet.
I think it's time I said this. Neither can I.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been a problem so far.
Where were you guys doing the sketch comedy at LA?
Los Angeles.
No, out of LA. What
We were on Hudson Theater on Santa Monica Boulevard. Pause. And
Big pause.
Santa Monica Boulevard. You got to say pause.
You see how
paranoid the Roots have made us. You can't even mention a certain street.
Pause after every word, and he's like, hey, pause. All right, pause. Need to pause. Borrow, pause.
You know can be like, hey, I love the silent treatment. Pause.
Yeah.
Hey, brother.
I just like
more.
Song.
Pause.
Yeah, I just like the song.
And then we started doing our own sketch comedy troupe, and then we started making videos online, too. There was a video. There's a movie. There's a TV show that HBO used to do called Hookers at the Point. Really depressing show, but kind of like so depressing it's hilarious.
And the update.
Exactly.
The update,
and but all that stuff was based on this movie called Pimps Up, Hoes Down. So Dion and I made a parody of Pimps Up, Hoes Down. HBO saw it, and that's how we ended up over at The Message. They saw that work, and then, you know, the rest of it is just job.
Yeah. Till Fallon,
yeah.
There you go. So
I don't know if I missed anything.
I mean,
okay.
When did you get glasses?
I've had glasses since the seventh grade.
Just random Diallo history trivia. Just for when I get
He's
called
wearing
on.
Glasses, folks.
When I have to do the Diallo trivia show.
But, I mean, there were so
lowest
many.
Lowest rated
puck. Only on logo. Go ahead.
There were so many memories at this Justin.
Is that true?
Getting hired, getting fired.
Getting laid off.
Site getting shut down. Yep. They're like. Five
a Hollywood reporter. That was nice.
Yes.
A lot of good times.
So anyway. to tie into the hip hop podcast, we ask normally our guests what their favorite hip hop song of all time is.
Wow.
In this, it's a stupid question. We know.
No, it's a conversation.
It's a conversation. So, you know, we didn't get your answers early, so we're going to have to find them while we talk about them. But we like to play them a little and talk about them. So we can start with Diallo, if you want.
That's a tough question.
Can you go first?
Obviously,
Bashir's going first.
This is Bashir. I'm going first. Oh, what's up to the lazy? Shouts out to the new one. I gotta say, man, that's a tough question. I really haven't thought of it, but I'll just throw some ideas out maybe to help me think about.
It's
I'll
raining
start by
men.
Saying the Weather Girls. It's Raining Men. No,
that's hip hop.
That is hip hop. That is hip hop because they just don't care.
Right.
I was just thinking about the other day. One of my favorite albums of all time is Pete Rock and Sales with Mecca and the Soul Brother. That's right when I was in my prime time of hip hop.
No, I thought it was It's Raining Men the album.
This is the problem, but what I was going to say about Pete Rock and CL Smooth is that the cool thing about that album is that he didn't just have all the tracks on. Before every track was like this other awesome beat.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he made two albums and he only made lyrics for half of the beats on the album.
I kind of hope the beat at the beginning of When They Reminisce was a
song. Oh my God. Yeah. Somebody should take that and make it a song. Honestly, Kanye West, what's the song we just put on our blog? The Kanye West song that he took from Pete Rock and CL Smooth. Runaway. Kanye West song Runaway
is a sample,
Pete Rock and CL Smooth sample.
Yeah.
So I'll start with that one.
We're going to play Reminisce a little. One of the best samples in hip hop history.
Ever, yeah. Did you see that he's going to work
the song?
This song?
No, the sample.
No, what is it? I've heard it. I have it on vinyl.
Tom Scott, name of the song is Today.
Today. I have one of those records that just gives you all the samples. Uh-huh. This is one of them.
Right. Okay.
I never thought CL Smooth was like the greatest rapper. But
he's
Pete Rock's beat.
Shots.
He's
but
not.
Pete Rock is actually working with...
Pete Rock's beats is so dope.
He's actually working with Jay-Z on...
the next album.
Yeah, the next album. He also either is on the Kanye record, but he definitely flew out to Hawaii.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we'll see.
What's the track that he was on a boat in the video? Is this The Creator? You guys remember that? Was that before your time?
Oh, yeah, I remember The Creator.
I'm a little old,
man.
He had a music video where he's like on a speedboat for some reason.
Yeah, that's a classic. That's from the previous album.
Oh, okay.
That's not from Megan Thee Stallion.
No, it's not. But it's just,
I think the name of the album might be The Creator.
So, one
of my favorite beats of all time is on Megan Thee Stallion, brother, is Straighten It Out.
Straighten Out's really good. Well, now we got to play Straighten It Out.
I love that beat. That beat, it's like, it's one of these things, there's so many layers to it. The more I hear it, the more I hear in it. That sounds lame and corny.
I just wish in hip hop we treated these guys better. You know,
sure.
What do you mean?
I don't know. P Rock doesn't get any beats really anymore.
I feel like Premier barely gets beats. But I think a lot of people more and more. I see Premier everywhere. He was in that video, Duck's House video we just saw.
Yep.
And he's in the Bun B. He did the Bun B single.
I think Primo's eating. There are a couple other cats who I definitely feel like, wow, how's that dude making it by now? You know?
The beat before the beat again.
I love this beat.
Who else? I'm trying to think.
Just straighten it out.
But does Primo want to, you know, stay in hip hop right now?
I'm sure he's not saying no.
No, he likes those Christina Aguilera checks, you know?
Yeah, or Limp Bizkit checks.
Yeah, Limp Bizkit checks.
Yeah, those are better.
I hate to use the word hipster, but I do feel like more than ever, hipsters are embracing DJ Premier as like
no question
their new like retro grab a little bit, because he's everywhere.
If you're in an A-track,
he was at the concert.
Yeah, right.
He was actually with Drake when I went to the Jay-Z concert.
Oh,
he was with Premier. Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Good to know.
But I'm just saying, like, those two are not people you would think would be hanging out. So.
No.
Right. What about you, man? What about a track?
Yeah, track for you.
I'm going to say, I feel like naming any track, and this is going to sound pretentious, but there's no way around it. I feel like naming any track is going to be like, it's going to cheapen my whole, because I got brought in with Public Enemy. That was the first hip-hop CD I ever bought. But you know, I'm going to go with, since we're talking about Primo, because I'm trying to think of what's the greatest Primo track of all time. It might be J. Rue Come Clean, I'm going to go with Play Me Something from Group Home's album.
Oh my God. Speaking of the juxtaposition of not great MCing with mind-blowing producing, like, what's the guy's name? Malachi?
Yeah, Malachi.
For those of you who don't know, kids, Group Home was this amazing group that kind of came under the wire, and they had some of the best beats of any
And they're
any
hard
album.
To find. I don't know if they're selling them on iTunes.
Just
I might
amazing.
No, I don't think so. Here it is.
Yeah.
Oh, this beat. Shade 45 plays this like three times a game, for the record.
What's crazy is a lot of the stuff on this album is the stuff when you hear freestyle battles that the kids will bring up to battle over. This is great shit to battle over, too. These beats are
great. These are great period. And it reminds me of other great songs from that period. I mean, like Camp Low is a forgotten album from that period.
Ski, right? Ski Beats? Yeah.
Ski Beats.
Yeah, Ski Beats, that beat.
I think, and this is just a function of my age, two albums convinced me that hip hop was going to be like my music. And he'll tell you, I've gotten into Britpop.
Yeah.
I've gotten into.
Huge fan.
I was into drum and bass in 99, I admit it.
Yeah.
Garage.
I listen to everything, but the two albums that solidified my love of hip hop are Refutin' by Digable Planets and Bizarre Rye 2 by The Far Side.
Love
I think
both.
Between
Speaking
those
of albums,
two albums
that kind of came in and kind of changed the game a little bit, like that Far Side album kind of like hippie rap. I hate to say hippie rap because that's dumb.
I think it's scale. We talked about it on another podcast.
It kind
it's
of
really
changed
skate,
things
it's
a little bit, right?
Skateboarder rap. It was
really
one of the first olive branches to the kids that were skateboarding to say, hey, we got these guys, they dress a little different.
Also, they released that album in Los Angeles back when like G-Funk was king.
It was like they were almost like De La Soul when they first came out from like New York, and it's like, wait a second, this is from New York too.
Yeah.
It's like,
and there was a nice swell. It was a nice
But I'm saying they came out from LA too. You're like, what?
There was a nice swell because Souls of Mischief came out the same 3 months.
And Outkast came out about 8 months later. So there were a lot of people wearing bent brims on their hats.
It was and if you want to get real absurd. obscure. The Rascals also
I remember
came
the
out.
Rascals.
They also
oh,
came
yeah.
out that year. So there was a group of kids that finally, I mean, something you see now with mm-hmm. every rap group who comes out, right, the cool yeah. kids and all these people who yeah. dress the exact same way they
I
were
like
dressing
the cool
then.
Kids, yeah.
I do too. But you see where it started, definitely within that Far Side West yeah. Coast hieroglyphics thing that was going on.
You know, it's yeah. crazy, though, just like tying it back even more. The first time I even heard the Far Side was on an album by Guru's MC Solar.
Yeah.
Because they had the Far Side. I'm going way back now, kids.
Not to be confused. But
the Far Side was on that record, though. They were on the first MC Solar record. They did a yes. soul. I don't know.
You know that's like a curse word now in hip hop.
Yeah, MC Solar. But it's a different Solar.
No.
It is. It's the French dude. Solar.
It totally is. Look at
By
up.
The way, I was
Look
in France up. A couple years it's ago. He's still Solar. Apparently like still out there like rapping and like kind of big.
The MC
crazy.
Solar who he rapped with in Le Bien, Le Mal is not the same Solar. If you Google it,
the whale or whatever,
it's a different dude.
Yeah. Who knew? I always thought it was the Jazzmatazz.
Jazzmatazz is what I'm thinking of.
That guy's cool.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
That guy's not the guy who took Guru off the deep end.
Again, like the twins in Social
yes,
Network.
Yeah,
this
Winkle
is Vi. Yeah, the Winkle-Vi are coming up again.
Winkle-Vi.
Another thing we wanted to throw into the mix for you guys is, in top of favorite songs, favorite mm-hmm. musical guests while you've been at Fallon.
Yeah.
Like people that just stand out as your... Okay. As your I mean, right. mine, I'll just say mine to start.
Who's yours?
Motown Philly, Boys to Men.
Yeah, that was good.
Nice.
I still watch it every once in a while. It's just a good... It's something that no other show would have done.
Yeah.
And it was just done really well. The Roots doing Motown Philly.
The sound in the studio is so big, but it's also somewhat filtered. So sometimes groups will sound better almost at home when it's been mixed and mastered than it does in the studio, because the studio got to make it sound decent for the audience. So it does change sometimes what the sound is when they come on the show. I did like I'm not even big into like this type of rock and roll, but I did like Robert Randolph and the Family Band. They came in and did a cover of Jimi Hendrix's Purple Haze, which I thought was pretty awesome because it was like high energy and pretty amazing. I don't know.
Mine would be Neon Indian, and it's also because
yes,
of the way it came together. Because you know, like I use Hype Machine. I use like a lot of different ways to come across music.
Shouts to HypeMachine.com.
Jim, somebody canceled.
You're a little slow, Jeff. You're a little slow.
Yeah. I'm just saying, yo, this podcast is about to go up on Pitchfork.
You saw the Onion article on Pitchfork, right?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Okay. Yeah, that was great.
Nerds.
This podcast too white.
Gives music a six. Well, you know, we're setting it up for Just Blaze. He'll come back.
Our next question
you're talking
is
about Neon Indian, though. I want you to
somebody canceled on the show, and we were having the writers' meeting, and Jimmy comes in. He's like, "Hey, so and so canceled. You know, does anybody? You know, is there anything somebody's?" And I was like, "You know," and this is not to take anything away from our music booker, because I think he was on the same page.
Yeah.
Neon Indian had just, you know, leaked a bunch of their songs. They had leaked their own songs to the internet.
Now they're from Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, I think they're a local.
So they were
group.
Local. So.
They're definitely from Brooklyn.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like, you know, and I remember Jimmy was like, "Well, what song should I listen to?" I was like, "Well, I think," and I don't even remember what I should have taken Ass With You. I think that was a single. I was like, "Listen to Ephemeral Artery." I was like, "I spun that at Soho House last week, and I think it's my favorite song of the week."
The L also DJs at Soho House, but shout out to Soho House, y'all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a member of only the LA Soho House, so maybe we could talk later, because I can't afford the extra $2,000 in order to go to every house. Thanks. I'd love to hear you spin, yes.
I mean, like, Jimmy listened to it, loved it, and then they came on the show, they killed it, Pitchfork was backstage, and then they got signed, and, you know, like, and I would also say, and I have no financial stake in the group, they just released a CD of like remixes that like has everybody from BBO to just a bunch of really cool remixes to that album.
What's kind
of
cool is like just Dial and I are just so in he more than me, but we're so into music and it's such a big part of what we do. The most important video we even did way back in our AOAFBO day was this video called Condi Rice Raps, which was Condoleezza Rice testifying to how was that song
it was Fergie.
Fergalicious. Fergalicious, which ended up getting like 2 million views, which is like back in like 2007.
No big deal.
Kind of a huge deal. Now Justin Bieber has 300 million, but that's still it is.
That was a sweet time in the internet, because honestly, you could roll up on like a legitimate talent agency, say, "I got 3 million views on this."
And they would
video.
Be like, "Yo, all right."
And they would set up $1 million deal
for
you.
We got signed off of that thing. You know? We got our first big agency off of that. But it's the quick tie-in is that Jimmy, obviously, he does a lot of music. All his stuff has been music. He loves music. All his characters in SNL, his biggest characters are all music-based. Mm-hmm. So, like, hearing Jimmy and Dial talk about music is kind of, like, really, really cool. And it doesn't even have anything to do with comedy sometimes. It's just, like, what are you listening to? And so it ends up being pretty
My
awesome.
Favorite thing that The Roots ever did on Late Night would have to be the NWA thing. Which actually did not even end up
did
on
not
the air.
Air no. But it was
Ice Cube, right?
One of our producers was back there, like he was filming it on his little, you know,
flip cam.
BlackBerry.
Okay.
And yeah, not even. Just
shout
like
out to Kirk Douglas, the guitar player for the Roots, who hell of a good Eazy-E.
Did a great Eazy-E.
Yeah, right.
And by surprise. Like it wasn't even scripted.
I think that's one of the best things about working at Fallon's, because we are such a like tech friendly show that like when cool stuff happens on set that's not even like during part of the show, there's always this, you know, like, hey, maybe we should just, you know, maybe we should just tweet that out.
I was fucking in the office, fucking around the office one day, and I made up a song called "Ukulele Music Is Annoying When You're Trying to Get Work Done." And one of our other writers saw it and started dying laughing. This guy, Michael Blyden, he came back and made me do it again and taped it. And then he showed it to our boss, Mike Shoemaker. He was like, let's put it on the air. And he put Jimmy in it. And now, you know, it's one of those things where I kind of looked online. It was like a couple places the next day. So it's that kind of environment where, like, the right place, right time, and something cool happens.
Internet friendly. Kind of. How, it's great.
I would say aggressively internet prone. In
some ways. Do you guys do slow jam in the news? How is that split up between like the writers and the Roots?
Oh, that's a good question. First thing I'll say is we spend Dial and I are, aside from being complete music nerds and complete comedy nerds, we're also huge news guys. Mm-hmm. And so we spend a lot of time reading the news. And so we spend probably a day or 2 days researching that bit before we write it each time.
I'll tell you the truth. I only know about three things. I know a good little something about music, about, you know, like,
let me tell you, I know three things. You're black blind blues musician from
I feel about 55 years old.
But they're huge subjects.
unfortunately, one of them is where the Soho House is.
Where the Soho House is.
That's one.
The year was 2002. Sex in the City was huge. Soho House.
Look,
Magnolia. I'm sorry.
Music, comedy, and politics. I can't really talk effectively about sports. You know, my video games.
I'm talking about physics.
My video games are weak. You know,
can't play
like
Halo. Nah. I mean, Halo online if y'all want to get at me.
I was watching.
Shout out
to
ladies.
Shout out to all the ladies who like Halo.
I was watching Social Network last night thinking to myself, wow, I was a really dumb Harvard guy.
Yeah, me too.
The idea that they're having a drinking game
Shouts
over computer
Harvard,
programming, like, that is, I just felt like, wow, I was truly humanity.
Were the houses you guys lived in, were those any of
any
the ones they were talking
about?
They show Harvard you see in movies is, by the way, 100% not
like MIT or something.
Can we talk about that
I
for
saw
a second?
The skulls, okay?
Yeah. Hold up.
I know how this
Okay, so
work.
There's a guy.
First off, there's a lot more Asian kids. All right, shouts to the Asian people, y'all. Y'all well represented.
No, hold on. You haven't seen The Social Network.
I feel like
the Asians caught it bad.
I mean,
we can talk about that, too.
They are the sluttiest human beings in the universe.
Apparently Asian women.
I mean, could you be?
I gotta say, when I was at Harvard,
literally, they just didn't have
Asian
to say
women,
"me so horny."
Yeah. That was ridiculous.
That is
Hold
not
on.
How the Asian
I
address, women were.
I
want to
address the skulls, and I want to address Social Network.
We got a lot of shit to get off our chest.
First podcast ever to talk about the skulls.
Is this microphone on? Check this
shit
out. I literally
Shouts
almost
skulls,
sent out a tweet today, but I'm gonna say it live on the air. I want someone to do a movie about Harvard that doesn't have one tweed jacket, does not have one person who comes from money, and doesn't have one shot of the crew team.
Right.
That's coming from somebody who dated a member of the female crew team.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let me be very clear. I dated a member of the
what
female.
What does she look like?
She had good arms.
She looked like Jared Finkelboss.
She looked like Jared Finkelboss. Well, her twin sister was there, too.
I had a friend of ours who's a DJ, but I won't go. I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
Mark Ronson.
Who once told me,
DJ A.M.
A certain DJ. He was like, hey, man, yo, I saw the skulls. Y'all at Harvard were doing some ill shit. And I was like, do you think that we were really drinking blood out of skulls? He was like, well, maybe you weren't.
First off, the skulls is at Yale, so I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, it is.
But he was like,
you guys are
maybe
the same.
He's like, maybe you just didn't see that side of Harvard. And I was like, motherfucker, there is a Hollywood Harvard that exists.
There's a Hollywood Harvard. There's also two of my best friends were in
the clubs. It looks like Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
There are legacy kids who do look like that, but it is like when you walk through the campus, it's not the majority.
It's not even like 20%.
Not just that, but nobody cares about this, but I'm going to say it. The most difficult major at Harvard is actually computer science. It's the only major that routinely kicks out 15% of the people who do it. Like, they get kicked out of school for cheating because it's that hard.
Wow.
Smart kids end up cheating. So those are like the hyperest, nerdiest, like, you basically have to be brilliant to even be in that major. And so the fact that there was anybody attractive at all in that movie is shocking, because I was there and there's not a lot of attractive people into computer science.
Look, don't get me wrong, there's some parts that are accurate, but I definitely am tired of like the whole sort of like
my father has money, and I can have his attorney.
Bill Shodgley here.
All I care about is the supper club.
Exactly. Yeah, that's
all right. Now,
that's
now we'll talk
all
about
right, Goodwill. I got that off my chest.
Now we'll talk about Goodwill Hunting.
Yes.
We'll talk
actually,
about more
much more accurate.
That was
representation.
That was closer, I think, than the skulls or even elements of Social Network.
But speaking of Social Network, yeah. Dial and I were privileged to work on the History of Hip Hop medley that just went
which we're gonna
like,
we're gonna get
hyper viral, ridiculously. We were very very. The Jimmy brought us in his office and said, hey, Justin, I have this idea about maybe doing some kind of hip hop medley or something. Mm-hmm. And we all started talking about it. And, you know.
And at the first, they wanted to say, can we do like a history of hip hop in 2 minutes? So me and Bashir thought we were going to, this goes back to your earlier question about Slow Jam. We thought we were going to write an original song.
Right. And Slow Jams are, every one of those songs is like an original song that we write.
Yeah.
With
Slow Jam, just a, let's answer that question. We read a lot of politics.
Yes.
Right.
We send in like, hey, we can do, you know, maybe three, you know, these three things. They let us know, okay, do this one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we proceed to write a slow jam, a song.
Mm-hmm.
We go down, we work with the Roots. We typically use the same melody.
Right.
Now, so like, it's really just a matter of finding out where that's the breaks so nice. Are.
I just dropped something, y'all. Sorry about that. Shouts to dropping shit. Shouts to dropping shit.
I was like, am I on one of those morning shows where like y'all are playing
play crazy?
Like,
wacky
fart.
What an asshole.
Welcome to the circus. It's me, MacGyver. I'm Chicky the Bear. Yeah, no,
crazy.
Another great Jimmy Fallon sketch.
That was a great sketch.
Right?
Yeah.
Which SNL one? Sketch.
Which
he
SNL
did,
sketch.
He did a
where he did the morning radio guy.
By the way, Jimmy is, I don't think. Jimmy Fallon does not, I don't think, sometimes get credit for his level of comedic like acumen because, and the reason I say that because people like him and think he's a funny guy, but I think people forget that he's been in the business for going on 20 years now.
Yeah.
Even though he looks like he's 12 years old, like he's like 36. Right. He's been around. He's been to SNL. He's like 20, I think, he got on SNL. So. Been a long time. He can do that morning drive time thing.
Yeah.
Like he'll come into the morning meeting and do the whole shit. No script, just do it for us like in the morning meeting.
One
and it's
of
like
his
laugh
best
out
characters.
Loud funny. Yeah. Like not written, just literally going through a million different like voices. Like the guy is like he's
he
ridiculous.
Gets unfairly shit on because
he laughed in sketches.
Yeah,
that's what
Seth
I think.
Seth MacFarlane, right?
Yeah, didn't I think he? Unfortunately he just got penned with being the guy who laughs in sketches,
right.
Which is a stupid
What's
thing.
What's kinda hot about that though, that's kinda helped our show is that the expectations were so low.
Yeah.
Fair, yeah.
That now
yeah.
that we're knocking shit out the park, like people are just it's everything we do that's big, people just continue to go like what
yeah,
the
it's
fuck?
Good to have him pleasantly.
Like,
surprised.
It's kind of hot that like we came in. So in a sense, if they had given the show, for example, to like Andy Samberg, even or to somebody
right.
who's like had a couple of like those like multi million hit viral
right.
videos on SNL, the expectation probably would have been way higher.
Sure,
and they would have really only been able to go down. But for us, luckily, people were really expecting that. Oh, he's just gonna like laugh his way and what they again what they don't give the guy credit for. He's been around like almost 20 years. He's a fucking student of comedy, and he. To be, you know, to be honest, he kind of likes us and guys like us. So we were able to really kind of fit in over there and do our thing, which is pretty cool.
So how were the songs picked for History Hip Hop? How did that go through?
We just, you know, he gave us the first two. He was like, I think it starts off
Sugar
with Sugar Hill. And we also, just by knowing Jimmy, we know he's a big Beastie Boys fan.
Huge. That's, so, like that's actually his favorite band of all time.
Really?
So.
He said, yeah, he
I
said the Beastie
so.
Boys.
When he had the three of them on one time, like he... He literally couldn't sit still.
So,
I love that.
Let me,
I like
can
that
I jump in because
too.
I think Dial's being a little bit modest. Dial really spearheaded. I mean, we write everything together, but he definitely spearheaded.
Everything.
He spearheaded and made the thing perfect in a way that was like he made because he's a DJ too.
Right.
So if you listen to the thing that I think is so impressive about it is two things. Number one, it actually plays like a really cool DJ set. Like you could actually spin that set and the shit would work. And then number two, we actually he did a really good job, and particularly in the songs he picked. Of things that like you can't really hate on anything in there and say
well,
oh you left
very,
this out
it was
out,
very
left
sweet
that
of
out.
You to put the seed 2.0 in
yeah
there.
Really
it was very nice of you but that may have been the standout but it was very sweet of you it was nice of you
I don't know what you're talking about man shout out to the seed 2.0 shout out to the seed
fair enough but it was,
is,
again
it's a huge song
it's a huge
but
monster
if you can't
Cody,
say oh, you,
Cody
you,
Chestnut
oh you left out somebody said oh you left out Slick Rick but I'm like yeah but we covered three other songs around that area you left out this person you left out
Oh, by the G-Unit, way, by the way, exactly. Let me just say, in the off chance that 50 is listening.
Shouts to 50 Cent, we love you, man.
Listen, people have been hitting me up because apparently we know some mutual people, news to me.
Yes. Oh, you know we know the
if
same
If we
person.
Do another
it's
one,
John
there would definitely be some G-Unit in the
you
mix.
You guys have John on?
We want to. We're going to venture.
You know, John's he's a Harvard guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's coming to our screen next week. 50 Cent, too. Also a Harvard guy.
So that's right. Yeah.
People don't even know
I'd be thinking of Meth and Red.
That's right. That's right.
Boo-foo gear or whatever they created there.
That's the other image of Harvard. It's like either it's that like sort of hyper gossip girl image, or it's just like stuffy like 1980s like, you know, Rodney Dangerfield comedy style Harvard. Like, what's going on here? It's like, you know, there's no accurate representation of what they.
By the way, speaking of which, I saw Social Network last night, and I went to Boston University.
Ooh. Yeah, that's the worst.
No joke spoilers, but that was hard. That's some Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah,
like, first of all, that was hilarious.
I leave there,
and
I'm
that was
like,
wrong.
I leave there, and I'm like, that wasn't a BU dorm.
That's what you took out of it. Not that they were dissing you for the whole movie.
There is a couple of scenes in there where I'm like, oh, I kind of wish I was seeing this in Harvard Square because they are dying laughing
right
now.
That place is going to go batshit when they do
like when he was like, Quincy House doesn't have it online, but okay. Like when he's like going through the houses, I was like, oh, I wish I was watching this with a whole bunch of.
It'd be great. For the record, one of the best writers on our show also went to BU, Mike DiCenzo Deitch.
Shouts to him. Shouts I know him.
Can Deitch. I just say
he is a brilliant,
love
brilliant
Mike
dude,
DiCenzo.
Man.
Like I like it when someone writes something and you're just like, A, I would have never come
fuck
up with that.
Fuck, I wish I had thought of that. Deitch
but
is that
B,
dude.
I wish I had come up
God
with that.
Damn it. Yeah, he actually wrote the Sousaphone sketch. Dude.
Oh,
and he writes all the sketches for Kirk's Holiday Song. He does
Will of Carpet Samples.
He does Will of Carpet Samples.
Will of Carpet Samples is so great.
I think those are
Name
brilliant.
That guy. Like Deitch is, Deitch is brilliant.
Name
BU,
that guy
is
awesome.
Big shouts to BU.
While we're talking virally about the history of hip hop, we can talk about we bring up sort of like a headline that's on the blogs right now, and we just talk about it and see where it takes us. This one to me, we just learned right before we went on air is that Antoine Dodson. He's gonna perform at the BET Awards.
I'm happy for him too.
Like, it's just I'm wondering, and this is a larger question.
Yeah,
Snooki has a book deal. Mm-hmm. She's read two books. True. She's read. She's admitted she's read only Twilight and Dear John. Those are the only two books she has a book deal.
Modern classics.
Yeah, modern classics.
Shouts to Big John. Shouts to Big John.
Big John. Those are the only.
Dear John.
Dear John. Big John.
Big John is a guy I saw. It's not in Chelsea. I live in Chelsea, y'all. I live in Chelsea. So
those are the only two books she's ever read. You know, Kim Kardashian no longer is known for her sex tape. She's kind of like a certified bomb. She doesn't want to do Playboy. She's
but
ashamed
let's be clear,
of Playboy now.
Kim Kardashian did begin her career sucking on a penis.
Yeah, a Ray J pain. A Ray J
pain. People forget that, and I feel like it's important to say that.
Well,
sometimes.
People 100% have forgotten it.
I hope that the footnote in Wikipedia brings them back to this podcast to be like, oh yeah, it really did happen. They said it on this podcast.
Here's the thing is that with this sort of, we're just justifying. MTV used to at least kind of make fun of these people.
This is true.
Now they're all the most popular people, just non-ironically.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're my idols.
Yeah, see? There you go.
That's true.
And I wonder...
It's affecting the youth.
And Antoine Dodson, as much as I think it's a really great story that these kids from Auto-Tune, the news...
from Brooklyn.
They partnered with him. They're doing a completely safe partnership with him that shows that they're going to... You know, he bought a house with this money already from iTunes.
Good for him, man.
I agree. But are we... Is this going to be the hottest song of... I mean, is this an actual song or is it a parody? I think it is an actual song.
And I'll tell you, I think that there's actually something really cool about it. I know that there are a lot of people out there probably struggling to get their music heard. At the same time, there's something beautiful about pop music where, you know, these people who never met can put together different pieces of a song. And I'm so happy that those guys like got him into the financial money.
They really didn't
have
to. Because
they didn't have to.
No.
I mean, like, they
made him
a part
he probably would not have known to get an attorney
thing.
And blah, blah, blah,
I think
blah.
That's great.
I'm just happy that his sister didn't actually get raped.
That's like the icing on the... That's what makes it a Rockwell painting.
What's his name? Donnell Rawlings. I forget. Is that his name? The guy that was on Chappelle's show. He actually did a video. It didn't track because it was a little bit too, like, obvious. But he did a video from the POV of the guy who tried to rape the guy's sister, which is like kind of a joke you tell like at a writer room table, but actually not something that would. I mean, I think people like the song; it's a dope song, but also they love this story. They're like, "Oh yeah, this is a horrible situation." Now some people are about to get paid. Cats out of the projects. Like that's super positive. But what's funny is we've actually talked about maybe would we do something with that guy, and I think because the story is still fundamentally kind of dark. I think that our show is very, very sort of positive in many ways. Is we want to keep things really happy, and I think
we're,
we probably wouldn't
touch
that.
We're broadcast TV, you know. Ultimately, so NBC I mean, ultimately, is like, NBC is not going to let us do something that, at the basis of it, was the story of
attempted
rape. But you know, one thing that we want to do eventually is we want to be in some kind of like cable network situation where we can test the boundaries, and we're never going to do stuff just to be. Controversial, but definitely, like just even the language you hear us using right now, like that time is going to come.
Yeah, and as far as controversy, we could get into the next subject, which is the idea that Chris Brown has a number one hit.
Yes, this
is
true.
And it's not like an ironic number one hit. It's a legit number one hit. And this week, which I don't know when the podcast will air, but this week when we recorded, they released the Deuces remix, which seems to be getting...
Deuces.
It's a number... I think it was... I looked earlier. It's the number one trending topic on Twitter right now. And the idea that Chris Brown not only has come back, but he has gotten every rapper we like on a remix. It's almost like none of them knew the story of what happened with Chris Brown and Rihanna.
No, they do. Right. They do. But I think what it is, again, it's sort of like... it's the same reason when I was 18 that, you know, I wanted to, you know, call myself DJ Jihad. Like, there's a certain element of, oh, this is what society is against?
Yeah.
All right, I'm a ride for whatever the
opposite of that is. I think your current DJ name, though, DJ Attempted Rape, is also...
That was taken.
That was taken.
I looked it up.
DJ Attempted Rape!
Let's play a little bit of the remix. It features Drake, T.I., Kanye West, Fabulous, Andre 3000. I mean, it might as well have all of Run DMC, including Jam Master Jay. At this point, it's just everyone you've ever liked.
More than that, though, I like the fact that they took the worst rapper, Tyga, off of the track.
Yeah, that's
so
sad.
That's good.
Poor Tyga's at home.
I just saw Tyga at the Drake concert. Shouts to Tyga.
No, you're lying, by the way.
No, he was there. He was in the first
night. You're lying about giving him shouts.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah,
you don't care.
I barely know who that guy is.
Yeah, you don't care.
Honestly, Tyga, because you get rich one day, man. Shouts to you.
Tyga was like, I heard they do a remix, man. My verse is ready. Oh, okay, yeah. We'll get in touch with you, man.
Verse has been ready.
Ready.
You guys don't like pineapple juice? What was it called? Tyga's single. Come on, y'all.
Coconut
juice. Coconut juice.
All I know is that the guy ate $100 bills.
He did.
On
that's
camera.
What he's most famous for.
And he's Travis's cousin.
He is. Well, I don't know if that's real.
He ate $100 on camera?
He did. $200.
Tragedy from...
No.
Travis. I wish he was tragedy.
I know, yeah.
By the way, I saw that dude because he came to our show. He was like 12 foot 100.
Yeah, he is.
Him and Jeff battle for tallest surprise ever.
We're in the tall club. It's more exclusive than Soho House.
It's a little more exclusive than Soho House.
But you remember in every city immediately, which is true. Different than how I have to live.
But I will say this about the whole Chris Brown thing, which is really shocking. A couple things. Number one is that... Actually, no, I won't tell that story because it involves too many other people and it's too many tangents. What I will say is this.
Mark Ronson.
Mark Ronson. But I think this is horrible, but look at Mike Vick. I think people still respond to talent.
Yeah, but Mike Vick did time.
I understand that. Chris didn't have as much of a... What I'm saying is that at the end of the day, no matter how... there's certain things you can't do that people... Like, you can't obviously do anything that crosses the boundary, like kids or something like that.
Right.
But
unless you're R. Kelly.
Unless you're R. Kelly, right. And it was before the internet age. Thank God. We were saying that about Michael Jordan, too. He's like, oh, my God. Thank God I was famous before the internet age.
That's true.
I would have not been able to do shit. Shouts to David Beckham, by the way. But I think that if you have talent, then people, outside of a certain few cases, like murder, not even murders, you can kill somebody and come back with a hit album, shine.
That ain't happening. Don't worry.
But I'm saying you could.
You could try,
King.
Yeah. If he didn't sound
outside
like
of
he
certain
was,
things,
it didn't sound like he had marbles in his mouth.
Right. And Chris Brown, you know, was many things, but he was also super talented. And people respond to that shit. So people really forgive you if you can make them like happy, you know, be you, Michael Vick, and Chris Brown, people will ultimately just kind of forgive what you did as long as they think you've had some kind of like comeuppance and move on.
It's true.
Meanwhile, Rihanna, shouts to you, baby.
Yeah, I mean, he did beat up America's sweetheart. I can't think of someone more kind of pristine.
Let me ask a horrible question. Was more talented.
If she was who? If she was...
If she was like a Kim Kardashian.
Right. If she was Kim Kardashian.
Well, Ray J beat her up. Yeah. Just a completely different
no,
way.
No, the phrase is beat it up.
Right. Yeah. Right. Sorry. I got to get back to my slang.
Smash it like an Idaho potato.
I don't know. I mean, I do think it... I think it's a little weird that Chris Brown is back. I do. I think I thought we shit on him. I thought it was the end of it. I don't think he paid any sort of come up. I don't think he had any sort of up and comments. I think that with Mike Vick, when you... compare that, who I have on my fantasy football team, shouts to Mike Vick, 30 points every week. What I'm saying about Mike Vick is I could celebrate that. I could say the dude paid dues.
Yeah.
But this Chris Brown thing, all he did was wear a weird shirt and apologize.
And also,
you know,
deep down, fuck animals, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
There's too many dogs already.
I had
already.
Buffalo wings yesterday, man. Fuck them chickens.
Oh, yeah. I thought we were talking about bestiality. Wings.
Oh, no. That's deuces.
That's another thing from social networks, by the way.
Cruelty to animals? I was just thinking that.
Yeah, I was like,
I didn't even see the movie, but I clearly don't need to see the movie.
Yeah, you feel like you did, right?
Next to you.
But no, I do think it's a matter of if you have talent, people forgive shit. I really do feel that way.
All right. Well,
speaking of Social Network, again, by the way, Boston University's school paper.
Segway Jones.
What? Is the Daily Free Press, and nobody reads the BU Bridge. So, just so.
Too detailed.
Okay. All right, all right. My nerd.
Go in on it. Go in.
My nerd thing is that, and this is not a spoiler, but we're in 2003, am I right? Yeah. Or even 2004.
Oh, I
no
have it.
DJs,
Serato.
No
I have
DJs were
too.
Using Serato. Right.
I had the same thing as you did.
I saw that in two different scenes, and I was like,
yeah, oh, yeah, right.
I saw Serato.
Exactly.
I was like, first scene, I thought to myself,
it's taking me out of the movie,
dude,
man.
I was out of the movie for like 10 minutes because I was like, in 2003, I was using vinyl. Did Cut Chemist use Serato yet? Because I remember he was the first guy I saw.
You might have had CDJs, but nobody used Serato.
That was an interesting opinion on battle DJs. You want to tell them what that is?
On battle DJs?
Q-Bert,
what, like Rectangle and Cut Chemist? And
I like what they do. My issue has always been that...
Hold on, I'm going to get Q-Bert on the phone.
Get him on Q-Bert.
I'm joking.
Get that dude on the phone.
He's not on the phone, is he? I'm kidding, Q-Bert. Shouts to you. I don't know who you are, though.
I already got beef with G-Unit. I can't have beef with Q-Bert, too.
You have beef with G-Unit over the history of rap.
You have friends in common.
This is true. Speaking of Common, shouts to Common, yo. What I also will say is, I know he's coming up later on, but Hannibal Buress just walked in. Shouts to that guy.
Yeah.
If you have not picked up his album, you need to get it because that's the funniest thing. I was supposed to be writing for my TV show one day, and I listened to his whole album like twice. So you know the comedy wasn't strong that day, y'all. But that's because I was listening to Hannibal. But you know, shouts to him.
Well, into Chris Brown again? No.
Yes.
No, Chris Brown. No, Chris Brown.
I can't
Brown.
Have anything. No, what we normally do now is we take it back to another Social Network reference, but we take it back to a year where things were more innocent. Serato wasn't quite here yet. Things weren't quite fucked up. Chris Brown didn't beat anyone up.
Not yet.
We go to the MySpace website. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yes.
You remember that? No?
Yeah. No? Anybody?
Right. Still the number one clearinghouse for like shitty music.
And
right now.
And girls in bikinis.
This is true.
I was going to say, like somebody said in the Philippines, like MySpace is like the number one website.
Really?
There's a lot of things that are number one in the Philippines. Yeah,
if you have a Filipino fetish, or exactly. You're in America's Best Dance Crew.
What's up, my panais?
You know
that's
where to go.
That's actually an okay word to say. The plot to the new Steve Carell movie.
What?
It's about a guy who
tried to
be like a musician in like the 70s, and about 20 years later he finds out he's huge in the Philippines.
Gary Glitter.
That's right.
Yes.
Gary Glitter.
I'm sorry.
Another age issue.
Another big issue. Too soon.
We have not yet healed.
I wish somebody would put a website up called thetoosoon.com and it just lists everything that you can make fun of yet.
Like, eventually.
That's a good website.
That's a great website idea. Shouts to whoever does that. Give me 5% of that.
Toosoon.tumblr.com.
Toosoon.blogspot. GeoCities.
We have a lot of sites to squat now.
Toosoon.com.
But what we do is we take questions that were originally intended for teenagers to ask other teenagers on the famous MySpace questionnaires.
That's hilarious, nice. By
They're
the way.
They're horrible.
Yeah.
We ask the questions. We're looking for answers that are both funny and real, but these questions are obviously dated and they're amazing.
Yes.
Jeff, you can go ahead.
Have you ever dated anyone in your top four?
By the way, my brain had to go top four.
Yo, that shit was serious.
Yeah.
People would get mad about that shit. Like, why am I not your top? Then MySpace made it top eight, and now it's top 12. But
yo, people who
when
used
it
to
was
be
top
like,
four, that shit was real.
People who used to be like, if you put me in your top eight, I'll put you in your top eight. Those people were fucking idiots. Yeah. Because that's a stupid request.
Right.
You need to get it of real merit. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just get yourself in a top eight.
It's true.
I'm going to say no to that, by the way.
Okay.
I did date somebody in my top four.
Oh, man.
You met before they were your top four, or they became your top four?
Those are the conditions
bad.
Under
okay,
which she got into
well,
the
I'm
top
just
four.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, that was the entry fee.
You want me my top four, baby?
The currency
weird,
was
she
pretty
didn't
amazing.
Speak English. It was,
you want to go for it, Eric?
Have you seen The Butterfly Effect?
Yeah, I have.
I've definitely
Ashton Kutcher, I saw that.
Yeah,
I've definitely used it in parties when drunk to explain obnoxious shit to people. What you don't understand is a butterfly. For example, no, you shut the fuck up.
For example, I kiss her.
I kiss you right now.
There's a hurricane.
I don't kiss you. So no, I haven't seen it. Shouts to Ashton Kutcher.
This is obviously directed to kids with fake IDs. When was the last time you threw up?
Jesus Christ. God damn, I haven't thrown up in a long time. You know what? It was New Year's Eve the year 2000 and Diallo was there because I got lost because I was drinking.
That's the last time you threw up?
I think so, yeah.
When the world was ending?
That's great.
I blacked out. I was drinking at the Standard Hotel. It was dope.
I remember that night.
I remember I was talking to this dude and his wife and I remember walking through the bar and then they were like, I was like, I'm drinking red wine. He's like, I don't have any more red wine. I said, what do you have? He's like, tequila. That's the only thing I remember for the rest of the night.
Well, do you know that when you threw up that night, it brought you to today?
That's right. Butterfly effect.
Butterfly effect.
That's right.
Good news is we roofied you. So you're going to vomit later tonight.
Oh, man.
No big deal.
You guys aren't going to like DJ attempted rape me, are you?
Yep.
Well, we're going to make a hit song out of it, so don't worry about
Shouts
it.
Shout out to R. Kelly.
Last question?
Yeah.
This is my favorite question. Have you ever kissed someone over 30?
And remember, for like a 16-year-old, that's the craziest question you can ask. That's like, do you time travel?
Right? Yeah. No.
What's ironic is I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
My wife is
Your
not
wife
30.
Is really young.
She's not 30 yet.
You usually date like 12 to 15, and then your wife is, she's like 24.
Oh, wait. No, when I was 22. Oh, this is cool. When I was 22, Luva, I dated a 32-year-old.
Shouts
she was
to
Swedish,
I thought,
right?
I thought I
was she Swedish?
She was Swedish.
Oof. Shouts to Sweden, y'all. If you haven't been, you need to go.
Yeah, I mean,
that was crazy.
Was she in your top eight?
I don't remember. She loved DJ Quick.
Really?
She liked DJ Quick and Sugar Free.
And you want to tell us? You want to tell us about that German girl you dated who was like quietly kind of like anti-Semitic?
So I heard your name is DJ Jihad.
Very attractive. No,
we won't tell you tell us that.
No,
no, we won't tell us that.
Right. We'll say that off the
LA, there's one day somebody would put a book out called Diallo's LA Stories, and you'll hear these.
Her name was Samantha Hitler. It's not a big deal. Hey, that was the Hyman Podcast. I want to thank you guys so much for coming
in
here.
I feel like, did we talk enough about comedy?
I don't fucking know.
What, comedy? We talked about every shit. I don't know.
Okay.
You guys are awesome.
Fuck, we had Bobby Monahan in here. We didn't even talk to him about hip hop. He was like, he came in. The funniest part is he walks in and we're talking to Rosenberg from Hot 97.
Yeah.
And
Rosenberg
and
is the man.
He's the man.
I like him and Tim Westwood are like my favorite.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Shout out to Tim Westwood.
The funny thing
in
is Bobby Monahan was a big Lost fan. I worked for the show Lost for a while, and he was a favor.
I saw every episode.
It was like a favor of us. You know, yeah. It was like, hey, please do this podcast. And I was like, don't worry, you don't have to know anything about hip hop. And as he walks in, we're talking to Rosenberg, and I was like, yeah, man, whatever happened to the Flatliners? And I just look over, and Monahan's face is just like
ashen.
Yeah. What is going on? Like, he was like, what did you get
into
me into?
What have I brought myself?
Yeah. So luckily we kept the obscure away from Monahan, and he did a great job. But
that was fun, man.
Well, if you ever have us back, we'll literally talk only obscure comedy and only obscure hip hop
and about these bitches
and misogyny, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Misogyny.
Well, thank you guys so much. This has been the Hype Man Podcast.
Shout out to the world.
I am Jensen.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Eric.
And thank you guys so much for coming. We'll be next week. Check it out.
Peace.